we have everything that we love, everything in this world is just there. It's there, but they're just borrowed to you. And we need to handle the things of this life with a kind of separation. In other words, we need to be in the world, but not of the world. Whether it be the things of your home, your house, everything on this earth is just borrowed. Borrowed. Just for a time. We all came naked into this world, and we all live naked. With only what we do, say, and use our life for. That's all. And the world measures us by what we have, but God measures us by what we give of our life. And it is a foundational Christian principle that we understand that once you're in Christ, you're free from the world. The worries of food, clothing and shelter should never be there again. And probably about 90% of the Christians' problems revolve around the things of this world. Think about that. Right? A lot of Christians worry about these things and that thing. But if you analyze it carefully, it has to do with this world, this life. Why? When Jesus has given everything to us, think about it for a moment. Our Father is the God who created the universe. And the more powerful telescopes they build, the greater they see the universe is. They haven't seen the end of the universe. And what used to be a star, when they looked through a more powerful telescope, they found it's a whole galaxy system. That seems to be just one tiny light. They haven't seen the age of the universe. And our Father, your Father, my Father God, made that. And don't you think He could provide for your house, your food, your clothing, your shelter? We're talking about personal relationship with God our Father. And can you imagine that God of the universe sent His best for us? He did not send the second best. He gave His own Son. Paid for us with His precious blood. And He says, you and I now belong to Him. We are bought out of the world with His precious blood. And then we crawl back like worms to worry again about this world. You know what the whole world is worth? Less than one soul. And this is what Jesus says. What shall it profit you if you gain the whole world and lose your own soul? So based on that mathematics, I would say the whole world and all the wealth within it is less than one soul. Because Jesus says it's not worth it. So something needs to break into our life. Some revelation. Oh, I pray that the Holy Ghost will give us a revelation. Some revelation has to enter our life in such a way that we are broken free from the world once and for all. And the things of this life, when we look at it, yes, they're nice things to have, nice things to play around with, nice things to hold and touch, nice things to use that gives pleasure to us and gives pleasure to others. But something in you has separated you from them. Some sort of barrier, some sort of clothing has separated you. You are now free. And free from the fear in this world. And we used to have prayer boxes and prayer requests that was in our local church and both in the Singapore church. So we used to have probably, you know, every week hundreds of prayer requests that are put into a box that we pray for. And once in a while we open the box and read through them and pray through them. And one of the things I found in a prayer request, in the early days of the ministry when we started praying for people and having prayer ministries, well-organized prayer ministries, we found this. When we looked through some of the requests, some of them we found, you know, pray for a job,
pray for this, pray for my house, pray for a car, pray for this and that. And this is what we found. About 90% of the prayer requests have to do with the things of this life. It's amazing. 90% of the prayer requests of thousands of Christians has to do with this life, with this world. And you say, oh, that doesn't surprise me. Wait, this is depend on where you're coming from. But when you look at the Bible, less than 5% of the prayer request is for this life. Look at Paul's prayers in Ephesians 1, Ephesians 3. Has it anything to do with food, clothing, shelter? No. It has an indirect effect, of course. Nothing. Ephesians 1, he was praying for the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Ephesians 3, he was righteousness would be in their life. 1 Corinthians 1, he was praying for the gifts of the Spirit to continue to abound in their life. The Lord's Prayer, one sentence is for this life. The rest, thy kingdom come, thy glory, thy will, forgiveness, everything. One sentence, give us this day our daily bread. And when you love the Word and you study the Word, you say, look at all these prayers in the Bible. Less than 5% has to do with food, clothing, shelter, and the things of this world. And then when you look at Christianity, and you say, wow, 90% are all dealing with this life, you begin to ask yourself this question. Where have we lost it? What has happened to the Christianity that Jesus came to bring? How far have we gone down the road? And that's a cry from the Holy Ghost. And we need to once again understand that if we're free from the world. Now, this is the fear of many Christians. He says, Pastor, if I give up all these things, will I lose them? If I stop praying about all these things, will I not receive them? Will I lose all these things? And what happens if I don't ask? Will God still give? The answer is of course. Matthew 6. God knows we need these things. And He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added unto you. See, the fear of many is that if you don't sort of pester heaven with all these things, we're not going to have them. We don't know how much our Father loves us. Before we love Him, He loves us. And God promises this. This is His promise. If you're free from the world, and all your life revolves around pleasing God, loving Him, you actually have more than you ever dreamed. Now, it's not wrong to bring our request to God. It's not wrong to say a prayer and say, give us this day our daily bread. Thank you, Lord, for providing a good job for me. Thank you, Lord, for providing a good home and a good transport system for me. It's all right. But when it occupies 90% of our Christian life, something is not right. If it occupies maybe 5-10% of our Christian life, where, you know, give us this day our daily bread, and then the rest of the time we say, oh God, help me to be more holy. Oh God, teach me about the fruits of righteousness. Oh God, help me so that I'll yield my life, that Jesus is fully living through me. Right. These are the things that the Bible people pray for. And when we begin to walk the way God walks, this is what I believe God promised. You have riches beyond what you ever have. And this is the most frustrating thing. By trying to free Christians from the world into the realm of the Spirit, and trying to convince them that they actually gain there and not lose, Because this is God's promise. That you have so much to handle, and that we should not lower ourselves to the level that the world has. We should raise ourselves up, and then you gain everything in this life. Because Jesus says in John 10 verse 10, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. And I believe that it's God's will for Christians to have all that God has for you, that you could be a blessing to much more. Look at what He promised from Genesis to Revelation. He promised to Abraham that his children would come out of the bondage with silver and gold. He promised Abraham and enrich him. And He blessed Joseph. He blessed David. He blessed all those who knew Him. Look at the many, many examples. Has anyone ever lost one cent by giving up all to follow Jesus? Nay. But sometimes it's a struggle, a real struggle, like a rich young man whom Jesus met. And Jesus saw the rich young man and he said, I want to follow you, Jesus. And Jesus says, take everything that you have, sell all that you have, give away, and come and follow me. Well, that was a challenge to the young man. What did the young man respond? The young man walked sadly away and didn't follow Jesus. What was his fear? The fear that every Christian dealt with when they were asked to give up the world. They were afraid they would lose everything. And then the disciples saw that thing happening and they said to Jesus, Jesus, look at that. And Jesus says, it is much harder for a camel to enter, much easier for a camel to enter the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God, because they're too tied to the world. And then Peter turned around and said, what about us? This incident happened in Matthew 10 and says, what about us? And Jesus says, everyone who has given up houses, lands, families, this and that and this and that to follow me, he will bless back 100%. 100-fold. There is it, Jesus again, assuring us that we do not lose it. Now, in Matthew 6, let's conclude with some of these principles. How do we get free from the things of this world? Right? In Matthew 6, it gives us a few things here. In verse 25, he says, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, what you will drink, or about your body, what you put on. In verse 25, there is a surrender of everything of your life to Him, so that your food, clothing, shelter is totally dependent on Him. And that continues in verse 26, look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns. Say, your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Now the key word in verse 26 is value. Your value system changes. Your value system changes. I think if were human beings who planned the coming of Jesus, they would have got Jesus to be born in a mansion. Because it's God who planned the coming of Jesus. Jesus. Do you know Jesus was the only one who could choose where He was to be born? None of us chose to be born. But Jesus was the only one who chose. What would you do if you could choose which country, which family, and what you'd like to be born into? I don't know why some of us would choose. But Jesus had a choice. And He chose a godly family who was not really rich. How do I know Mary and Joseph were not really rich? Because when they offer an offering for Jesus, they offer turtle doves. And you read the Old Testament, those are the offering for the poor people who couldn't afford more. And of all things, He chose to be born in a manger. That tells you how much His value system to the world is. It tells you how much his value system is to the world. Now, like the song says, we are all human, and when you don't spend enough time with God in the Word, the value system of the world creeps in, and it takes your time. So what we need to do is to refresh ourselves with God once in a while. To make sure, number one, the value system that we have is different. Like the things that God value. And as far as the everything in this world, although they have a monetary value, remember to set the value to zero. Default mode, zero. When you live in the world long enough, the world begins to put this value on this. This is worth this much, this much. And your mind starts operating. Remember, reset everything as value zero. And then when you look at this world, it's different. When you turn on the TV, see all these famous people, all those fame and all those, value zero. This is what Paul said it. He said, account it all as done. And when you look at all the mansions around, the big houses, the small houses, everything you look around, value system, zero. When you look at different cars and all these lovely cars and all that, value system, zero. When you look at everything the world has to offer, value system, zero. So set your value system as far as the things of this world, zero. And you will find that your life is different. It doesn't affect you anymore. And because, yes, they're nice, but God, you surrender all those things to God. Value system, zero. That's the way God values the world. And you live your life differently. Your mind thinks differently. So what if the world thinks you're odd? Now is where the original words they read. Now you realize why the world is different from us. Now you're different. Because value system, zero. I mean, sometimes when you mix with worldly people and they talk about this, that, oh, yeah, oh, all that. Because to them, they're great value. It occupies the conversation and time for hours. But for you, value system, zero. So, number one, value system, zero. Set your value system correctly. The way God sets it. You know how sometimes there is a measurement of 1 meter in the world? A standard 1 meter. How do you know a meter is a meter? Right, and they long ago they have that in France or somewhere, the metric system. This is 1 meter. Every other people producing 1 meter must be measured by that 1 meter. Today they set it to the wavelength of light, right, and that 1 meter, the standard version. Right. Otherwise, long ago they measure things by the span of your hand. But some people got longer hand, shorter hand, and so it changes. So there is a standard setting to the things of this world. Set it to value zero. And suddenly, you're free. Second conclusion point, live one day at a time. Live one day at a time. You can plan, you can project, you can all this in the Lord. But when it comes to your daily life, live each day at a time. This is what Jesus advises. He says in verse 34, do not worry about tomorrow. These are words from our Master, our Savior. Live each day at a time. Yes, something is due, you know, in 2 weeks' time. But why should that 2 weeks' time thing start eating up your energy here? Live each day at a time. And each day, as you enjoy each day at a time, the future will take care of itself. And that's the freedom He wants His Christian to come into. And when you take one day at a time, something comes into your life. And each day, you know how sometimes people wake up with like Mondays or blues or all those things? It's because they keep looking forward, but if every day is special in itself, and you just get up each day and say, today is just a different day. I'm going to make the most out of this day for the Lord. Live it for the Lord. Your approach to life changes. Because the world eats itself in anxiety, worrying about some things that are due in 3 months' time, 2 months' time. Maybe your mortgage payment, maybe your loans, maybe all these things. Take it one day at a time. And believe me, this, the things will actually take care of themselves. Because there are some things that you cannot see coming forth. Some solutions that are coming forth will come in the end when you live each day at a time. And the only time that you look into the future plan is as God reveals to you some of His prophecies and plans, then you begin to look for it and begin to move towards it. However, you still live each day at a time. One day at a time. You learn what Jesus said, not to worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow is tomorrow. Today is the day that the Lord has made. Make the most of today. And look at the birds of the air. And they live only one day at a time. I have never taken a walk and seen a cockatoo or a magpie, you know, the husband magpie and the wife magpie meeting together and say, oh, what shall we do? We don't have enough food for the next 1 week. Now,